WDAY.
There was a day when a paper like the Washington Post could put something in their paper and it'd be picked up by their partnership papers around the country, and then the broadcast networks pick it up and it just is gospel. That day is gone. And we saw a prime example of how the new media can quickly combat media bias. And an example yesterday about this story of whether or not some traitors that we found in Iraq were in fact biological weapons traitors, or whether they were sand toilets. A story in yesterday's Washington Post, it also ended up on the front page of the Forum of Fargo-Moorhead yesterday, said trailers, not WMDs, just sand toilets, and suggested that the president in May of 2003 was saying something that he know not to be true, based on the report of a team that had gone to Iraq and checked out whether or not in fact these trailers were biological laboratories. What they didn't tell you until way into the story was that there were actually three teams that did independent investigations. Two of the three said, you know what, these aren't biological laboratories, and of course the president said just that. But they got caught yesterday thanks to the good work like folks just like Bob Owens, who is the author of a daily political blog known as the Confederate Yankee. He's done it all. He's been a day laborer, a college freshman, a composition instructor, a car salesman, a sports writer, a web designer, and a technical writer, just to name a few. Holds a Master of Arts degree from East Carolina University. Lives near Raleigh, North Carolina. So we welcome to the program Bob Owens of Confederate Yankee. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
Well, and appreciate you joining us today.
Glad to be here.
When did your radar first go up in this Washington Post story yesterday?
I actually caught that early a.m. I don't tend to sleep a whole lot. And so I caught that shortly after midnight and had a post up within an hour.
And it's amazing, isn't it? Because this is a story that actually rebuts itself, but well into the story. I mean, to me, it was a classic example of how the media pushes an agenda. Am I right?
That is correct.
What blew me away about it was, you know, if you read the whole story, you find yourself by the 12th or 13th paragraph scratching your head saying, wait a minute here, you've just pointed out the fact that there was contradictory information.
And that is exactly what happened. I read the lead of the article. It said that the team was unanimous, and then you find out 12 paragraphs in that one team may have been unanimous, but there were three teams.
And that was...
Turned out to be a minority viewpoint.
That was really semantics, you know, this business of unanimous, because they used the line in the story that this leaders of the Pentagon-sponsored mission transmitted their unanimous findings to Washington in a field report on May 27th, 2 days before the president's statement. Well, the only thing unanimous about it is that one team of nine people were unanimous in their findings, but that totally disregards what the same story talks about several paragraphs later when it says two other teams had exactly the opposite opinion.
That is true, and then I found out later yesterday that another blogger, I believe his name is Chris Goodings, went back and did research and found out that even that team was not unanimous.
What do you mean? Even the team that was quoted in the leak and the big bombshell?
That is correct. According to what he has found, he found a 2003 article by the New York Times, Judy Miller, and another New York Times writer that said that it was still disputed within that team.
All right. So, in other words, it was not even factually accurate, speaking of one team.
It seems that may be the case. He talked to a total of six people that were either in the team or knew about the team. There's a total of nine, so there's a discrepancy there as well.
Yeah, I mean, the assertion or the agenda, as I would call it, from the story is that the president knew these biological weapons trailers were in fact sand toilets, and yet he told the American people something very different. Clearly that was the agenda behind this, right?
That is exactly what I took away from it.
Yeah, because obviously they didn't want you to come away with the idea that there was disagreement. And buried that well into the story, and it was very different. In fact, Charlie Gibson has had to apologize from Good Morning America because he relied on the Washington Post story and led yesterday with the saying essentially that the president had knowingly put out false information.
Yeah, I heard that, and then I noticed that Joby Warrick, who wrote the original story, has another story in today's Post, but it, instead of being on page one, is buried back on page A18. And he conveniently dropped the claims of it being unanimous, and he also dropped the mention of the other two teams completely.
But you know what? My point is, and I agree with you, it should be the same place where this was, and it should get the same amount of attention. But because of the watchdogs in the new media that are out there, you know, this guy's forced to write a story. And basically say, okay, well, it wasn't unanimous, and, you know, there was an uproar over it, and the White House put out a bunch of information on it. And, you know, that's good. I think that's a good thing. I mean, I don't think that would have happened 10, 15 years ago. It just would have been fact, you know?
Yeah. Technology has become a great way to level the playing field and get more opinions out there. The real interesting thing about the blogosphere is whereas reporters are generalists and have to be tolerably decent at a lot of things, bloggers tend to specialize in a couple of key areas. And so they're going to know more about the subject matter in a given field than just any general reporter may be.
You know, another thing that's kind of funny to me is last week the big brouhaha was that supposedly the president, and again the inference there was as it was tied to the investigation over the CIA agent Valerie Plame's name being leaked, president authorized leak, right? And how horrible that is. Leaker in chief and all the little cute little games they played with that. Meanwhile, they're writing a front page story today based on what? A leak. And celebrating the leakers. You know, they're horribly inconsistent. Kurt has a question for our guest, blogger Bob Owens. Go ahead, Kurt.
Are you content that there were two teams that previously went there and they all didn't agree, of course? It says in the article, it was hotly debated and there were experts making arguments on both sides. That's referring to the previous two teams prior to the supposed unanimous team. Why did they send a third team there?
No, I think all three went at once, didn't they, Bob?
No, they did not.
They did not really clarify that. The way it appears in the Post article is that the military teams went in first.
Yeah.
Then they followed up with a team of scientists and academics that came in afterwards that were supposedly going to specialize in that area, if I'm correct.
So I guess we don't know, Kurt, but there were three teams.
And so they said the third team probably went in because may have been a dispute amongst the other teams. The other teams were not unanimous in that saying that there were Mobile Weapon Labs.
I don't know that any of those teams didn't claim to be unanimous. It was the consensus of those two prior teams.
Well, we don't know that for sure. It could have been one man. We don't know. But anyway,
the point of this is that the agenda of the Washington Post.
Let me ask you this question, can I? The president obviously knew about the findings of the previous two teams, right?
I don't know that we know that either.
I'm not sure that we're sure about that. What we do know is that a field report was filed, and we do know that it was shelved. We do not know who knows about it.
Okay, but he went on and he said that the trailers found were Mobile Weapon Labs. He obviously got that information from the first two teams.
No, I don't think so. I think all.
Well, where did he get it from then?
Well, the mobile labs were discovered. Okay, and
did he just go and say they were weapons labs without knowing?
Well, wait a minute here. They were discovered and determined to be mobile weapons labs. Okay, then the Pentagon and the CIA send teams to verify that. So it is not clear whether or not those reports had been there. Even if they'd all been in front of the president, again, two or three teams agreed with exactly what the president was saying. I guess that sort of sidetracks the issue, because to me the issue is the fact that the Washington Post just got busted using one of three teams. They knew about all three teams, yet they choose to suggest the president was knowingly putting on false information. That's the issue here.
But you say the president didn't know about the findings of the first two teams when he said there were mobile weapon labs.
No, I said we don't know.
But he did not know about them, so apparently he didn't know about the third one either.
Well,
that stretches credibility a bit, doesn't it? Why did he say they were mobile weapon labs? Did it turn out that they were?
Do you mind me jumping in here?
No, go ahead. It's impossible to argue with these Bush haters, but go ahead.
I'm not a Bush hater. I just like to add the truth once in a while.
Well, you're not listening.
Let me try to explain what little bit I know about this. There was an Iraqi informant by the name of Curveball. That was the code name that he used, who described a certain setup of weapons.
Wait a minute. You're going to use Curveball as a legitimate
You want an answer or not?
If you will let me finish,
oh, that'd be interesting.
What Curveball did is he described a certain setup. When they discovered these trailers that seemed to match that setup, that may have been what they were going on. They may have been going on a preliminary report that an informant that at the time they trusted gave them information that seemed to correlate to what they found. That may be what they were going on.
Okay. Well, my contention is that if he knew about the first two reports and was using those as the basis of his saying that they were weapons labs, he certainly should have known about the third report. What, are they keeping him in the dark or something?
All right. Well, but again, the third report came a day before he said this, so you'd have
2 days before. Well, he's a president.
Yeah, I know.
And he was going to make a statement about mobile weapons labs. You would think that someone in charge there would have let him know about this.
Okay, all of these are legitimate arguments about when he found out and everything else, but the point is, it's very different from the discussion we're having here. And the discussion we're having here is that the Washington Post suggested that the president knowingly put forward information that was false and downplayed two reports that absolutely agreed with the president. The issue is media reporting. It's not when did he learn it, which report came first. It's how the media operates. Now, I understand, Kurt, given your political bias, you may want to ignore that fact, but we've just busted the Washington Post trying to put forward a notion about the President of the United States that was reprinted in papers all across the country that was false, that was giving a wrong impression, to the point you had Charlie Gibson on Good Morning America absolutely making a bald-faced lie he's now had to retract about the President of the United States. Is that the media of this country well serving its constituency? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I mean, Bob, am I right? We have two arguments going here. I mean, when which team, you know, concluded their findings and when that made it to the president is one issue. But, you know, the premise of what was put forward by the Washington Post is very different from that argument.
It is. We're looking at two completely different arguments, and folks on the center left and far left are trying to avoid the Post reporting issue and focus on the accuracy of the information. We now know that these were not WMD trailers. That is not really in dispute here. What is in dispute is how they chose to report this particular story, which is nothing more than a rehash of old news.
Yeah, and listen, we got a lot of problems to fix in the intelligence community. The president is not responsible for gathering intelligence, all right? And our intelligence gathering and the intelligence gathering of other countries was clearly flawed. I don't know how many times I've heard the president say that. I don't know how many commissions we've had, all right? Everybody knows that. My point is, the media, in this case, the Washington Post and their willing allies, were trying to falsely put forward a notion that the president was saying something he knew not to be true. And they do that based on a leak, which a week ago they were abhorring, a leak, selective leak, I might add, that says, oh, look at this report. And out of context, you say, wow, how could that report be that way one day, and he says something the next day, and you read on and you find out there was exactly the opposite opinion of two other groups. You know, the issue here is media reporting. It's not some of the sideshows. In fact, Scott McClellan, yesterday went so far, the president's spokesperson, to say the media ought to publicly apologize for the reporting on the mobile weapons lab story. You agree?
Well, they should. It was, this particular story was one that took old information. They tried to rehash it and recycle it in such a way as to try to embarrass the president. There was nothing new that they really brought forth. This information has been known for 2 to 3 years, and I don't see any sense in it if it is not agenda-driven journalism.
Yeah, and again, the issues of curveball or who we relied on for intelligence or why we initially thought they were mobile biological weapons and they turned out not to be are all, you know, legitimate issues that have been talked about again and again. I'm not dismissing those. It's not the point of this. The point of this is how the media operates. I mean, this really is, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know if it's in the Washington Post and the New York Times. It's going to be on the morning shows. It's going to be talked about all day on the cable channels, and they just regurgitate the same thing, you know. So they just got caught doing it, and my point is the reason they got caught is because there's a new media out there that's watching it. So every single thing you read, think about, am I getting the whole story here? And read the whole story. Don't read the headline. Don't read the first couple of paragraphs, because, quite honestly, the agenda is in the headline. The agenda is in the lead. But very often they cover themselves, as they did here very later on, with something that contradicted their story.
And it's very sad to say, but this has become pretty much a standard operating procedure among what I would call hit piece journalists.
It has, and that's why we're glad the new media is out there and folks like Bob Owens at the Confederate Yankee. A great blog. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate the time. We put a link up to your blog there and wish you all the best in continuing to expose media biases out there. So keep at it, okay?
Thank you.
Take care. Bob Owens, our guest on Hot Talk at 6 before 11, 10:54. More Hot Talk coming up. Don't go away.